engaging sermons on the most urgent problem of our day and what you can do about it.
Now, the End Abortion Podcast by Priests for Life.
The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Glory to you, O Lord. The 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had ordered them. When they saw him, they worshipped, but they doubted. Then Jesus approached and said to them, "All power in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always until the end of the age." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord gave us the command to spread the gospel. Woe to me, St. Paul said with that urgency of evangelization burning in his heart. Woe to me if I do not proclaim the gospel. The proclaiming of the gospel is not just for priests and bishops and deacons. It is for all of us who are baptized and confirmed in Christ Jesus. All of us have the duty to proclaim the gospel, and it's given to us directly from the Lord. That duty, that assignment, that mission, that call, that zeal, that hopefully burning within all of us to proclaim to others the Jesus we know, to proclaim to others the Father whom he has revealed to us, to proclaim to others the forgiveness, the redemption, the salvation in Christ, the way, the truth, and the life, the only way to the Father and the only name given on earth by which we are to be saved. Woe to me if I do not proclaim the gospel. There's no such thing as being a disciple without being a proclaimer of the gospel. It's not just something we believe in and keep it a secret. It's something we proclaim to the ends of the earth, because after all, if we love God, don't we want him to be loved by others? If we know that God wants the salvation of all people, don't we work for that? This is what St. Isaac Jogues and his companions were motivated to do. They were from France, 17th century, and they came to Quebec to proclaim the gospel among the Indians. They were the first North American martyrs to be recognized, to be canonized by the church. And so it's a special feast day for us here in North America, but a special feast day for all of us around the world who have the zeal of proclaiming the gospel, because these men exhibited that zeal. Companions, Jesuit martyrs, some priests, some lay martyrs, some lay missionaries. So they come over to Quebec. They start ministering among the Indians. But you know, there were warring factions among those Indian tribes. And what ended up happening was some of them ended up getting, there were various phases of the martyrdom. So some of them got killed, and converts were being killed as well. And you know, St. Isaac Jogues was one of the priests in this group, looking at all this and realizing that they were fulfilling in their lives what we heard in the reading today. Paul says, you know, we are carrying about in our bodies the dying of Jesus, right? He was crucified for proclaiming the gospel, and so are we in various ways. So his body, the mystical body of the church, ends up sharing in his suffering. These are the martyrs, why we wear red on a feast day like this. They shed their blood for Christ. And so we carry about in our bodies the dying of Jesus, so that for you, the life of Jesus may come. Just like Jesus, he died so that we might have life. These martyrs died so that the people they were preaching to might have life. They put themselves in harm's way, and we need to be ready to do the same. And they said, "Death is at work in us, but life in you," Paul says in this passage. "I'm proclaiming to you the gift of life. By my self-sacrifice, you can cling to Christ. You can know that his gospel is true. At the cost of my life, these men could say, I baptized you, I preached to you, I helped you to embrace the faith, and that is for your everlasting life. And that's why the psalm says, those who sow in tears will reap with joy. They sowed in tears. They suffered. They suffered. They had their hands mangled and all these terrible sufferings, and they carved in the bark of the trees the sign of the cross, and some of them were killed while baptizing others. And those who sow in tears, those who endure, they endured imprisonment, St. Isaac Jogues. They were captured by these enemies of the faith among the warring tribes, and they were imprisoned and tortured. They were sowing in tears, but we reap in joy because people come to believe in the gospel. They ask themselves, why? What is this that is motivating these people? Why do they have such love for this Jesus that they're giving their lives for him in this way? Those who sow in tears will reap rejoicing. Woe to me if I do not proclaim the gospel. Now, you want to see the zeal that St. Isaac Jogues had. It was like a zeal that St. Paul had. You know, St. Paul, he was not content just with proclaiming the gospel that he once tried to silence by killing Christians himself. But he became one of the best proclaimers of the gospel. But he wanted to go. You see the zeal. You read the Acts of the Apostles. You see what zeal is. Let's go to the other churches. Let's visit. Let's go to as many places as we can to proclaim the word. And then let's go back and encourage the brothers and sisters that accepted the word. And let's see how they're growing in the faith. So Paul did this. And he got shipwrecked, and, you know, while he was on the ship, he would proclaim the gospel to the people there that weren't believers. He appealed to Rome. He appealed to Caesar because, again, he was being persecuted and prosecuted for what he was doing, proclaiming the gospel. And he ended up preaching the gospel there under house arrest. He preached the gospel to the people in Caesar's household and over there, the Roman authorities, and everywhere he went, no matter what happened to him. We are struck down but not destroyed, he said. We are proclaiming the gospel everywhere we go, no matter what they do to us. So St. Isaac Jogues, you know what happened? He escaped imprisonment among these Indian tribes and ended up making it back to France. He got back, he escaped. But so much zeal did he have to proclaim the gospel to the people here in North America, that he came back. If there's one thing to take away from the lesson of this story, it's those three words. He came back. He had been captured, tortured. He saw so many of these Christians, including these new Christians, martyred. He escaped. And then he came back. And he wanted to keep it up, keep proclaiming, woe to me if I do not proclaim the gospel. And then he was martyred, then he was killed by some of these Indians, the Mohawks. He came back. This is the zeal for the gospel. I don't know how many of you have visited the Shrine of the North American Martyrs in Orriesville, New York, because he ended up coming down there to that area. It was a real blessing in my own spiritual growth and development of my own vocation to visit there prior to going into the seminary. What a beautiful place of faith. If you're able to go there, Orriesville, New York, Shrine of the North American Martyrs, you'll see the story of these great martyrs that we honor today. You'll catch the spirit of the zeal of the gospel. That place really helped me to capture that spirit too, of the zeal of the gospel, or let it capture us is a better way to describe it. Woe to me if we do not proclaim the gospel. And, you know, this great commission that Jesus gives, that Isaac and his companions, his eight Jesuit martyrs from the 17th century. This command of Jesus, the Great Commission, this has got to shape us day by day. And it's got to make us understand Jesus is the only Savior. We respect people of other religions, and we recognize in those other religions the elements of truth and goodness that we share with them. If people in other non-Christian religions believe that there is one God, and they believe that this is a God who answers prayer and forgives sin, those are elements of truth and goodness that we embrace as well. I mean, obviously, we share so much with our Jewish brothers and sisters. I mean, they're our spiritual foundation altogether. But the Great Commission says, proclaim the gospel to everyone. Our respect for people who are Muslim or Hindu or Buddhist or even atheist or belong to other religions whose names we do not even recognize. We acknowledge the human dignity of the people who believe differently than we do. We acknowledge the elements of truth and goodness in whatever religion they do embrace. We acknowledge their sincerity in wanting to know the ways of God and clinging and following those ways in as much as they understand them. But all of that said, we want them to have the fullness of revelation that comes in Jesus Christ. Religion is not subjective only, that we, you know, as if just because a person is sincere, well, then any religion's just as good as the next. No, it's not. Only Jesus Christ fully reveals the Father. These are not, religions are not on an equal basis. The people who embrace those religions have equal dignity. We respect them deeply. And nobody wants to impose the faith. You know, religious freedom throughout the world, something that our president, Donald Trump, and his administration have been defending in a way that no other presidential administration has defended. The right of people like Isaac Jogues and the North American martyrs, the right of people to go into countries and proclaim the faith, and the right of people to embrace it freely, to hear it freely, to embrace it freely, and then to live according to what they believe, no matter what their religion is. This is a great value to us and what must be defended, religious freedom. But that freedom includes us saying Jesus Christ is the only way to the Father. He's the only Savior. He invites all people to embrace him by faith and baptism and membership in the church. The Lord invites all people to this. It's hardly respect for other people to believe on the one hand that we have this glorious gospel of salvation, this Lord who died and shed his blood for us all, and then not to tell them the good news. Respecting other people demands that we urgently tell them the good news and show them the joys that await them in the gospel of Christ. And then teach all nations to carry out what I have commanded you. Transforming culture. We respect other cultures. We have to also have to transform them. If, for example, those cultures include the taking of innocent human life, abortion, killing children for other reasons. I mean, some of these other cultures, you know, they have ritual sacrifices of human beings. That is not compatible with the gospel of Christ. When the gospel of Christ comes into a culture like that, those other practices have to end. And we have to call for them to end. So brothers and sisters, let's come away here with the joy and the zeal for the gospel. He went back. Isaac Jogues, after being captured and tortured, and then he escaped and went back to France. He came back to Quebec. He came back to North America. He preached the gospel. Let's do the same. No matter what the cost. It's amazing. These guys get their fingers chopped off and their heads chopped off. And we're worried about a little bit of criticism from people that don't like the message that we're saying. Unbelievable. How we, in the church today, we become so soft. We can't even tell. You know, you hear some of these religious leaders, oh, don't say anything that's going to make anybody angry. Yeah, it's a good thing we're celebrating Isaac Jogues and the North American martyrs today. It's a good reminder to them. Stop worrying about making people angry and start having some zeal for the preaching of the gospel in the way of life that Jesus Christ lays out. You preach that way of life, yeah, some people are going to get angry. They're going to want to kill you. That's why we're wearing red. We don't run away from that. Too many in the church are running away from it today. Running away. Oh, don't say anything that's going to make people angry. Well, then what you're saying to me is don't preach the gospel. I know there's different ways of doing it. You don't have to unnecessarily anger people where it can be avoided. But sometimes it can't be avoided, and that's the point we're forgetting. Oh, don't be divisive. I don't know what in the world that means anymore. Because the gospel is divisive by definition. It divides truth from error. It divides ways of sin from ways of virtue. It divides light from darkness, death from life. Of course it divides. What was Isaac Jogues and his companions? What were they supposed to do? Oh, we're causing division here. These other Indian tribes are coming in and they're imprisoning. They're causing all kinds of uproar. Maybe we ought to stop doing this, guys. We're causing too much uproar. That's not what they said. Proclaim the gospel no matter what the cost. We carry about in our bodies the dying of Jesus so that the life of Jesus may be revealed. Those who sow in tears will reap rejoicing. Go and teach all nations. And know that I am with you. He's with us in the persecution. He's with us in the suffering. He's with us when we're rejected. He's with us when it's hard. He's with us when we're crucified. He's with us in the glory of the resurrection. He's with us when we reap the fruits of our proclamation of the truth and when we carry our sheaves rejoicing in a harvest of souls. He's with us until the end of the age. Come, Lord Jesus, be with us, be in us, speak through us, work through us, proclaim your gospel through us, because you are, Lord Jesus, the only Savior, the only way to eternal life. May we proclaim you to others that they may share that eternal life and that we too may see the glorious fulfillment of your kingdom. Amen.
This has been the End Abortion Podcast. To learn more, to help end abortion, and to connect with us on social media, visit endabortion.net.